This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Richard Benedetto, former longtime White House correspondent for USA Today. He's the author of Politicians Are People Too and now teaches both politics and journalism at American and Georgetown universities here in the nation's capital. We want to get his thoughts on some of the latest political developments as well as how the national media is approaching these final few weeks of the midterm campaign. And Richard, it's always great to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Greg.
Well, let's start on the media side of things. I'd say about 2 to 3 weeks ago, unless you were an activist Republican volunteer in the state of Delaware, you probably didn't know who Christine O'Donnell is. Absolutely different story now. The national media, especially the cable channels, absolutely fascinated with her, even though if you look at the polls, it's not exactly a real tight race. She's got a big-time uphill climb against Democrat Chris Coons here. What do you make of the media's fascination with her as opposed to the time they're giving all of these other Tea Party-type candidates?
Well, I think that the fascination with her is, one, she's a woman, and two, she's sort of like she's a little bit on the what you would consider the eccentric or flaky side in politics. And three, she's a fairly attractive, lively candidate. And that combination and also being conservative, it makes her a media target. There's no question about the fact that because she's a conservative, because she's a woman, and because she's somewhat, physically attractive, she becomes a target.
And, of course, there are those who would say there's potentially a parallel there with how the national media, at least the mainstream media, approached Sarah Palin a couple of years ago. Do you see kind of parallel tracks here? Is a much different story?
Yeah, I see it's very parallel. I think that it's the same kind of thing. First of all, she's an outsider, like Sarah Palin was. Sarah Palin was governor of Alaska, but that was a long way away from Washington. Same thing, even though Delaware is just a stone's throw from Washington, the media didn't really know her or pay much attention to her, and so therefore she's a surprise to them. And when they get surprised, they find out, we weren't really surprised, it's just that she wasn't very important, so therefore we're going to prove that she's not very important.
So in terms of how they're covering her now, is that the reason why we're seeing some of the stories get so much traction, like a comment she made on Bill Maher's show back in the 90s, for example?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't seen very much scrutiny of some of the other candidates out there running for office this midterm election like I've seen on her. Why her? Again, as I said, she's a conservative woman who is basically an automatic target for the mainstream media.
If you look at the campaign coverage as a whole, Richard, do you sense a specific theme rising here? Obviously, you have the Tea Party. You have how the president's factoring into all this, what a Republican pickups in the House and Senate would mean about how the public feels towards him. But do you get the sense that there's a narrative that the mainstream press is trying to forge here?
Yes. There are a couple of narratives that the mainstream press, if you watch the day-to-day coverage and you try to cut through all the fog out there, but there are about two sharp themes or narratives that the mainstream media are focusing on. One, that the Tea Party movement is a divisive movement and therefore it's going to cause the Republicans to implode and it's going to fracture them and they're not going to be able to win. And two, that the Democrats are not in as much trouble as we seem to think they are. Those are the two narratives that I keep seeing coming through in the national mainstream press.
For the most part, the polls suggest the Republicans will do relatively well this year. Given the mood in this country and the number of Americans who think we're on the wrong track, will the narratives that the media try to put out there in front of voters have that big of an impact?
Probably not, based upon what I see in the polling. And I was around back in 1994 when the Republicans took over control of the Congress for the first time in 40 years. The media were poo-pooing the idea that the Republicans could do that. And the polls kept showing that there were, since Labor Day, after Labor Day of 1994, that the Republicans were doing better and better and better. But the media kept knocking that theory down. And even though the polling at the last weekend of the election showed that the Republicans had a slight lead, the media kept saying it's still an uphill fight, it's still an uphill fight. So basically, there is basically a trend to say this thing is not real. Well, if you're comparing 1994 polling to 2010 polling, the Republicans are way ahead.
In terms of voters' opinions and voters' intentions being cemented, we're now less than 6 weeks away from Election Day. At what point do most opinions on candidates get solidified?
There's always some changing of minds or last-minute deciding on the last weekend of the election campaign, especially in sort of local elections. But the fact of the matter is that right now we haven't seen much movement in the polls where people are rethinking their minds. There's a small percentage of people who are basically undecided compared to what we've seen in previous years. There could be some. In the close races, some of those last-minute changes can make a big difference. What I've not seen in the coverage, you know, we see all this focus. I see that Pew Research Center just put out a report on last week's coverage, and 30% of the news hole was devoted to the midterm elections, with most of the stories being written about Ms. O'Donnell. We do not see any stories. I haven't seen very many stories of who are the Democrats in trouble? Who are the Democrats who are having problems? And what are the problems that the Democrats are running into out there? We don't see many stories like that. We just keep seeing stories about how the Tea Party movement is fracturing the Republican Party and how Ms. O'Donnell is really out of the mainstream and is really a kook. One of the things, there could be a backlash. Delaware is a small state. It's not a big state. It's a small state. You know, picking on the here too much can cause a backlash vote. They don't realize that.
Allegations of political activism by the mainstream media is certainly nothing new, Richard. Do you get the sense that it's more blatant this year, perhaps?
It's more deliberate right now, and there's a threat. Whenever there's a threat, there's always that backlash kind, that stiffening the defenses, because there's a threat out there.
Richard, in terms of what we could see on Election Day, again, we're just under 6 weeks away here, but it seemed like in 1994, just about all of the close races ended up tipping their way. Exactly the opposite in 2006, when even some Republicans you expected to win ended up losing by very narrow margins. How is it that that happens state to state, where just every close race seems to go one way or the other, and is that usually the case?
When you have years that are wave elections, where you turn a party in power out, that often happens. The people who are undecided, if there's a wave, will break with the anti. And so when in 2006, when there was a very heavy anti-Republican sentiment, we could see it in the polls, and incidentally, that anti-Republican sentiment in 2006 was not as strong as the anti-Democratic sentiment we see in the polls in 2010. But when you have that kind of a situation where you can see that there's a wave coming, the undecided people or the close races will always break toward the challenger or the person who's seen as the outsider. To fill in with the theme of the public as being looking for a change. And the public is definitely, according to the polling that I'm seeing, is definitely looking for a change.
Last question for you, Richard, and back to Alaska. Lisa Murkowski defeated in the GOP Senate primary for re-election. Now she's going to run as a write-in. How do you expect all that to play out?
I would think that that she's not going to be able to be a spoiler in that race. I think it's kind of silly for her to not accept the will of the people and to do that, because it looks like you're a sore loser. And the same thing with Michael Castle in Delaware by refusing to endorse the woman who beat him. It looks like you're a sore loser, and you build sympathy for the other candidate. I don't think either of those. I certainly don't think that the Murkowski write-in will cause any problems for Miller.
Well, the early polls after her announcement suggest that will be the case, that Miller will probably win. We'll see in just a few weeks. Richard, as always, great to have you with us. Thank you.
Good to be with you, Greg.
Richard Benedetto, former longtime White House correspondent for USA Today. He now teaches politics and journalism at both American and Georgetown universities in the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.